Okay, welcome everyone to the Iron County Rural Planning Organization's Rural Transportation Advisory Committee of the Iron County Rural I'm just thinking through my acronyms, making sure I have them all correct. It looks like we, for once in a long time, we have a quorum. It's awesome to have you all here. Is that right? We got Aldo from Brian Head. We got Dan from Parowan. Rich from the Reed from the county. One of you gets to say aye or nay. You decide which one you can fight for.
We just want to.
Yeah. We got Heidi from Canaraville.
And John.
And John. Oh, John. Yes. John. And I don't see anybody from UDOT.
Oh, so Chris will call and he has an agenda item with the NPO. And Chris mentioned he couldn't make it, so Chris will call me.
Okay. Needless to say, we still have a quorum, so we can continue.
So there's five. Thank you, Canaveral.
Yeah, thanks for hosting us here. Appreciate that. First of all, let's go to the action item of the minutes from December 6th meeting. Those were sent out previously. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to review them. I would entertain a motion, or if you have something you want to correct or amend on it. I would entertain a motion to
approve. I move that we accept the minutes.
Do I have a second? Okay, I have a motion by Rich Wilson from Iron County and a second by Aldo Biasi from Brian Head to approve the minutes of December 6, 2023. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Next, we didn't put in here to approve the agenda, so it's not approved, so we can't actually use it. So everybody can go home. Let's go ahead and go to item number three. This is a mistake on my part. We don't actually have to elect a chair and a vice chair just because this is a two-year seat. But you can if you want to. Anybody would like to take over, they are free to do so. You just have to nominate yourself, which looks really dumb.
I make a motion that we keep the chair and vice chair the same.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a two-year term.
And this is year
one.
Yes, we don't actually have to do anything with this item, unless you want to change it.
I make a motion that we table this item since it doesn't apply and move on to the next one.
Okay, thank you. We're not even going to second that one because it's happening. Let's go ahead with Reed, and if you can talk to us about the Safe Streets and Roads for All. This is 4A.
The only update I have is that we did yesterday get the template for our contract. So I do have that, and I will forward that to it has, they filled out partially the majority of it, and then left some places that we need to fill out, that we need to add stuff. And so I wouldn't mind just making a copy there with you, Freddie, and you can take a look at it and see. It just came in yesterday afternoon, so I turned it off and haven't looked at it too much, but that's what we've been waiting for, was the contract. And so
us to RFP send?
request. Are you not going to just send an RFP, just advertise an RFP to everybody, or are you just...
Yeah, we would, but sometimes targeting somebody specifically and sending them a copy of it.
Make sure they get it, even though
so
we'll send it.
So Kim Lee Horn and who else?
Kim Lee Horn and Avenue.
Avenue.
Yeah, my question has to do with making sure that we'll post it on the site, we'll advertise it generally.
Right.
But we didn't hear from anyone else, did we? Except those two. Yeah.
Yes. Avenue was asking me about it in the last couple of weeks, and I was like, because the NPO was five counties doing the one for Washington.
Yeah, and they had offered a template, and I haven't seen that yet. Anyway.
Anything you want that since the NPO has been going through the process, and you want to see some of the stuff they've been doing for templates and stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Whatever you might need for that.
That would be helpful.
So they have already sent you a contact person. The guy who sent me that is their contact person. I can't remember if his name is on there or not, but I'll plug his email. But yes, they have assigned that contact person.
That was in the video we watched they were going to, so they came out and did that.
Yeah, we did participate in the video conference that explained how the process would work. They said the next thing you do is just wait until you get your template from the contact person and go from there. So it just came in yesterday afternoon.
Jonathan's not here, but the city council hasn't yet. In principle, they are going to reject their contract or their amount. But I don't know the city council has done that. The $50,000 that they...
I think they did in their last
city council meeting. Did the council do that?
I think they did in their last city council. But I don't know if the last council meeting or the one before they had the action meeting. They do their...
They put it on the agenda.
They put it on the agenda for their work meeting. But I don't remember if they put it on for action. But I'm assuming they did because
I thought Rob said it was coming up at the next council.
Might be, but they're just going to.
I'm not Rob, Jonathan.
Jonathan.
So,
that's good. Can I back up just a little bit, Mr. Batty? It's the first time you've been with us, and we apologize for just jumping in and using 100 acronyms that absolutely don't make sense to most people because they're not involved. So we apologize for that. We need Canaryville's understanding about what everything that's going on. So with all due respect, I'm going to back up a little bit and just kind of explain what's going on. Would that be okay? Okay, is that okay with everybody?
Yeah, I would prefer my perspective.
Oh, good.
That would be great. I've been to the other one, but not this one.
So in an effort to help the state of Utah, Department of Transportation, and other organizations, there have been different organizations that are created by state law. One of them is called an MPO or Metropolitan Planning Organization. This is all for transportation. And those are large population centers. You'll see one in Washington County has an MPO. There's one in Davis County. The big counties with a lot of population. Well, they've adapted that to become create what's called RPOs, or Rural Planning Organizations, for smaller places with smaller populations and not less important transportation issues, but our own unique ones. And so this organization that we're working under right now is called the RPO, Iron County RPO, Rural Planning Organization. You see that on the agenda. If we have our own acronym, RPO, Secretary of RPO, that's what it is, and our own actually logo. And in the RPO, we have two organizations. One is called the Executive Committee. They're the ones who make all the policy decisions. And those are made up of the mayors and a county commissioner. And the other group that works in conjunction with that is the Advisory Committee, which is us. So the Advisory Committee, you're going to have Jonathan from Cedar City, who's their engineer, Reed from the county. It's actually on their list. which you can see right here, we'll go into in a minute, is a list of individuals who are assigned by the Executive Council or willing to show up or don't have anything else to do or whatever. I have extremely dry humor. I'm great.
And that's what John and I will try and do is cover for Stoney because he can't be here.
Yeah. So, and each organization has the opportunity or the ability to assign someone to take that person's place if they can't make it. But it has to be in the bylaws of the RPO. I think that the Executive Council actually has to notify us on the other hand. So that might be something we need to work on too. Instead of just someone showing up saying, I'm representing Phoenix City, and who are you? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here. But anyway, so those are the individuals on the committees, advisory committee and the Executive Council. And then we get together as an advisory committee and put together different lists of projects. You can see that right there. It's a massive list. It's a big, huge color paper. And I'm sorry, the five county association governments is like the, they manage all the documents and paperwork that has to do with this. And there's a fee that they charge that we pay as a county. And it comes out of a certain pool of money that the county has. So the idea is that we collaborate together on projects. Now, does Brian Hill have projects that have no bearing on Canaryville? Maybe. But do they? Well, how many people in Canaryville work at Brian Hill? There might be a few. Do the people go skiing up there? Possibly. Do people from Brian Hill come down here and go to Canary Falls? Yes. And so there is always a connection. And so that's the whole idea, is we collaborate together. We work together, not necessarily to do the projects, because we don't have any funding other than for them to print paper, kill trees. And but the coordinated effort helps us as individual organizations, Parowan, the county, which is everybody, to actually collaborate on prioritizing projects and helping each other to get things done. I would have to apply for funding, just like we were talking about this SS4A. If I want to, for example, Cedar City applied for funding for a safety planning for Cedar City, and they can hire an engineer to do all their safety plans on all their transportation. They applied for it, and then working with the county, Reed and Rich are like, well, why don't we do the whole thing as a county instead? So they applied for the funding too, and then Cedar City is going to withdraw their application, although they were approved for it, and say, no, we're just going to go with the county. So it's a really huge collaborative effort to help each other. And in these meetings, sometimes there's conversations which key me into, hey, if I did it this way, if I planned this way, or if I had a connection there, I'm going to save the public money. I'm going to save time. I'm going to save all these things and make it a better project or better thing for others. That's the whole point, is working together. Mostly, though, it's so UDOT can take this list and put it on their list and say, these are important to this community or to this county. That needs to be on our list. And then the money is readily available to us as a group or individually if it's on a priority list.
And a lot of times when UDOT's putting money into a project, or sometimes UDOT has to apply to the federal government for projects, and if they can demonstrate that it's a local priority, it's on this list, it helps them get funding for these projects. Yeah.
So it's a matter of prioritizing, working together. There's been times when my priority as Enoch City is, to me, is far more important than Cedar City's priority, and vice versa. However, we can see that there's potentially they're going to get the money before I can get mine, so I'm going to bump their priority higher than mine, which is a little counterintuitive when you talk about this, but we're not trying to be this. We're trying to be this in transportation, because we all are connected. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Sorry. Okay. Okay. Thank you for obliging me to drop back a little bit, because I know what it's like getting into a new organization and someone throws out ACL and L2 and SS4.
I've been here 2 years now. I know what we're doing. Thank you.
Yeah. You went way back to this entity. I thought you were just going to go back and describe SS4A.
No, I thought it would be best if they had a foundation.
No, that's cool. But will you do a Reader's Digest version of SS4A?
I think that Reed would be better off doing that really, really
quickly. Not better off, but I'd be glad to. It stands for Safe Streets for All. It's a federal program. The three key components are: one is doing a study to identify what the concerns are in an area, and then the other are what they call demonstration projects, which they can get funding to do the projects that they've identified as being safety problems. So we applied for essentially $600,000 project for all of Wyoming County, including all of the communities, to identify where our greatest concerns were in relation to transportation, where the biggest safety concerns were. And so we went with everyone's support and applied countywide, and that's why Cedar City, they had received, I think, $46,000, $48,000, something like that, to do a study to identify their safety concerns, but then realized that that wasn't going to go very far. And so they were willing to turn their money back so that we could do a countywide plan, $600,000 worth of project, for which we applied for a grant for $480,000, and then we had a match of $120,000. So we have $600,000 to study the safety problems in this county and identify and prioritize what they are so that then we can apply either the municipalities or the county subsequent to the plan to get money to fix the problems. And so this is a one-year effort essentially that will identify our greatest safety concerns, where they are, and then suggested remedies that can alleviate that. So the consultant that we talked to the other day, they had identified already some of the safety areas by UDOT's reporting of where accidents had occurred and mapped those throughout the county. And we talked about some of those, and that's what this project would be. And they would be holding meetings and doing outreach with each of the communities to identify where you believe you have greater problems. Even if there hasn't been an accident that was reported to UDOT, that they would at least be able to hear from you and say, well, we have this safety concern with pedestrians. We haven't had anybody hurt yet, but we just know it's going to happen. They need to know that. And so they'll be reaching out. And it's a lot of their effort is community outreach, identifying where they can potentially see conflicts and where problems are so that we can avoid those and fix them once we have.
Who is the engineer that's doing it?
Well, we haven't hired anybody yet. We've got to ask what we're talking about. We're ready to go out with an RFP with request for proposals to get their response and their proposal to do the work.
So what were their deliverable will be?
The plan. The identification of all the safety concerns and possible remedies. That's what they will give to us.
And then we can use that to leverage for the same grant in a future period?
Yes.
For actual money?
Yes. Next year, we will be able to apply for funding to fix the problem we identified through the plan. We can't apply for that because they don't really know the problem. They have to see that it's been studied, evaluated, and prioritized, and that's the safety concern in this area.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing with this money, just studying where the problems are and prioritizing them.
I'm glad you said some of the language you said in there, because we have one area, and it's the main intersection, center and main, and there's been some accidents, and there's been a bunch of near misses. But regardless, everybody in town, the mayor, the city council, everybody is stressed about it, worried about it. What do we do? When we talk to UDOT, they're like, you don't have the accident history. You know, you should see the way they got down in St. George. And I'm not busting on UDOT. I'm just saying that it's a UDOT road, but if we, through this program, can identify that as an area.
And they may be able to look at it and say, okay, why is this causing a problem?
Right.
Are the lanes too narrow? Is there not good sight distance?
Sure.
Why are you worried about this? Because physically, we look at it, no problem. Or
right.
We look at it physically and say, wow, it's a miracle, it hasn't been an accident.
Yeah.
And those are the things that they will look at. That, and that's why the outreach will be important.
So it's important for us to start thinking and preparing.
This first phase is called an action plan. That's what they're putting together is an action plan, which will describe here's the action, or here's what Iron County requires as action in order to solve those problems. designed and execute and build those projects.
Exactly. Let me take that to this organization real quick. An example of how that can help this organization entirely, not just because it's a county plan, but previously there was what we call the Alton Coal Study, because the Alton Coal Mine was really going to gear up and be great until someone else was elected. Did I say that? Anyway, and that study identified places that are going to be a challenge in Cedar City because of the route of the coal trucks. We're going to be how many every, like one every 5 minutes? We're going to go to the center interchange and then go out to I-15, or out to the Port 15 area to dump their coal. So we took that coal study and saying, here's your projects that are going to happen, and they ended up having capacity on our list. Then we did the Cedar City, Enix City Master Transportation Plan. We joined together, got some funding, and did that. And those projects ended up on the, some of them ended up on this list. Now this study will take the safety right there and potentially adapt these. They may adapt in description, they may adapt in estimated cost, they may adapt the phasing, when, or you know, what's the priorities based on that safety transportation plan. And this for us to look at as an organization.
So, sorry, can I ask a question? When you say estimated cost, is that what each community is paying, or is that what the county is paying?
On most of the projects.
That's the project.
It will identify on the list who's paying. So it will have the person, the party that's responsible.
But those are total project costs.
So the person that's listed under jurisdiction is on the list.
Some of them are shared, some of them we don't know yet. And we've talked about in order to get a project on the list, we need to have some kind of, what, I can't remember what we call it, some preliminary evaluation of some kind.
Projects.
It's like a
concept plan.
Yeah, concept plan. And it would identify, you know, where we get our estimate, what it's going to cost, and a little more about it. A lot of these projects that got on in this plan were not, didn't go through that preparation. We don't have as much information on them. So now that we've developed this list, and this is approved as it is, we'll now add to that through concept plans where somebody who has evaluated the project, like what we're doing with this grant, and say, look, here's the problem, here's why, here's what it's going to cost to fix it, here's some suggested ways, and then we can put it on the list.
And then you, so like the one with our name on it, you can have that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different
we'll
list.
Get into that in a minute.
Oh.
This is a different list.
Well, we won't come to you. You came to us and put that on the list.
Yeah. Right. And, but, I mean, as far as the cost. Well, then we work together and say who's responsible.
Yeah, on this list, there's been a lot of input on costs from David Demas, who was... He said in this journal, and Dave Demas was a traffic engineer for St. George for
a million years.
And he did a lot of these estimates, just saying, well, it's going to be about this. And then some, like the first one on the capacity, South Cedar Interchange upgrade with associated improvements, that's more accurate than $765 million because they're getting close to doing this. So that'll change. That's not
the case. And just because your name might be on that, it may be able to get funding from you, though. Or maybe able to get state funding, or maybe able to get funding from someone else to participate as well. So we're not saying that's the only person who's going to pay for it. It's just the one that submitted it and really knows the most information about it.
Okay. And as those projects get higher on your priority list, then more information, more detailed information will come out. Funding will be vetted and the costs.
And you'll be able to reach out to people on this advisory. Board here, this advisory committee, for maybe some information. How do I do this? How do I do that? And we can help each other.
Okay.
These are very high-level cost estimates. We're not going to really know the actual cost until we get into the design.
Or unless the county wins the lottery, gets $1 billion. And everybody gets their
car. Yeah.
That's right.
And we bring this, actually, this transportation priority list, you see, it's on number 8. We bring it to every meeting. Because there's every once in a while, there's an update to a certain item. And so you would be responsible to look at the items of your
name on it.
Canaryville on it and say, you know what, we even don't even know what this is, I don't know why it's here, or, yeah, this is going to happen next year and we're really gearing towards it, we need to potentially move it up our priority list. So we'll talk about it in every meeting.
Part of the reason we did the count in Canaryville was to update UDOT's transportation, and Nate and I were going over that, and making sure the accuracy of the usage of 91 in the north-south bound, and so that you know, sometimes, what is anecdotal, every time I go to work, there's 100 cars on this road, but they never see what happens from 10 to 2. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
And so that anecdotal stuff can get into the ears of perhaps politically, and it has no basis in reality. And so it wouldn't be. But the other thing that happens with this list in this meeting is sometimes we'll move a priority because suddenly funding's come available. Or, like Rob wants to bring something up where an owner is now willing to sell that has been on their thoughts for some time. So when we have an immovable object that suddenly moves, this group can take this to the governing board and say, this is our recommendation. We don't make decisions here, we make recommendations to the legislative group.
And that's mostly why we have people on this organization right here with us that are not politicians. Even though we could have some, it doesn't matter. I mean, Todd Robinson's on here with a pair of women. Not that being a politician is bad, it's just each organization is. Okay. Thanks for helping us take
this. Any questions about the SS4A?
So you're going to go to RFP next? Uh-huh. RFQ?
RFP. We're pretty sure we have the RFQ handled. We know.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll do a request for proposals, and we'll can initiate that now, and then once we get the contract, then we can start.
If you don't know, an RFQ is a request for providing qualifications to bid. That's the Q part. All these acronyms.
In your proposal, when you do that, are you asking for an actual cost estimate?
Yes.
Because sometimes it's not done. Okay, thank you. Okay.
So you'll let us know.
The target would say, you know, this is, they already know how much money we have. What can you give us for that?
Yeah.
Right. Because it's already out there. It's on.
And this is the county process, so you'll select somebody, and then you'll let us know, and then let us know when we can expect to have them come talk to us. Okay.
So are you managing the funding, too, or is
that's
by county going to do it?
We'll have to do the funding for any request for reimbursement that has to be processed through Iron County. But we agree that Pike County will help administer the process.
And that's you, Cody, right?
Yeah.
I just had lunch with you guys. You said you don't have time. I'm just kidding. Okay, thank you. Let's move on to the 2024 meeting schedule.
All right, so every year that I get to go over the scheduling the roster. The roster's not changing at all for the RTAC. We just found out that the chair and vice chair aren't being re-elected this year, that's next year. I have a couple things to the members here. I just put in the language, chair and vice chair is elected in 2023, and the chair and vice chair will serve for a period of 2 years. That is part of our bylaws. And I have to take that information out, and this time next year I'll forget it again, so I want to put it where I can see it easily. Generally, this group follows you go to the locations that the executive council goes to. Do we want to do that all except for the Newcastle Fire Station location?
Yeah, let's not go out to Newcastle for this group. That's my opinion.
We don't have to go out there for the executive committee anymore. We'll just have an Iron County.
That probably was just a copy from the last year. Yeah.
That would have been.
I was wondering if that was going to happen again.
We don't need to go to Newcastle Fire Station.
So that was on day they announced that they're doing that again at the
I thought they wanted to go last year because they wanted to see the new fire station.
Yeah.
Right. That was the draw was, hey, let's go look at the new
fire
station.
Did they really see it last month?
Yeah, it was written on the agenda that way. I mean, it doesn't matter for this group, but...
So in March, let's say, are we really going out to...
Just put on a county. I'll just take off where it's at. Because we're going to adjust that.
Let's assume the cog is forgotten. Let's put them somewhere else.
So other than that, there's not a lot to talk about. I reached out to Heidi last night to see if Stoney was still going to be the main contact. And then they decided to agree.
He's got to work. He works.
Stoney is that main contact, but because of his work situations, they're going to make sure to have somebody here that can make a vote.
I think that's what they're trying to do here with Mr. Batty, right? You the new guy? So I would actually change that from Stoney to John Batty.
Okay.
How do you prefer to be contacted? Email, phone, text?
J-O-H-N.
Do you have an email address?
How do you spell your name?
P-A-T-T-Y.
If we get your email address, then we'll just send an agenda.
Email address.
JWB1910.
Was that the year you were born, John?
gmail.com.
It was a good year.
Okay. And I was going to follow up with Todd if he wanted to have for somebody to be that for this group. For the next meeting. So that may change or not, I'm not sure yet, but we really appreciate you accommodating us and having somebody here. I think it's better for the county, so I think it's better for you to have somebody here.
Thank you. Is everybody okay with the current meeting schedule as discussed?
And if you do need to switch in those meetings up to here, our meetings
Did you find the basketball, Cody?
Oh, it's up there.
It's only half court, though.
Well, after this, we're going to pull the tables aside and shoot some hoops.
That's all I have.
Okay. Let's go on to number six. And before we do that, I think we'll just, as we do that, let's talk about what that means first, what it is. So years ago, I don't remember the exact year, the state provided new legislation that allows us to charge a fee through our registration for vehicles to put into a fund to provide money to local entities to purchase property for corridor preservation. And so, in fact, I think it was in Canaryville that it was adopted. Do you remember? I think it was here. They actually adopted the corridor preservation in the Council of Governments, which is the same body of the Executive Council, is also called the Council of Governments. And they can request funding based on an application from a body like a city or a county to take that money that's in the county's coffers and provide it to purchase property. And it's called the Corridor Preservation Fund. And so it's managed by the county commissioners, although the money is all of ours. I guess all the money in the county's ours. And so there's a separate list that's associated with that, and you have a copy of it. This is the money. This is a Council of Governments Annual Master Corridor Preservation Project Priority List. We need that in an acronym. Iron County Council. Anyway, so this list is put together, and according to the policy and the state code, I believe.
A lot of that right there.
Yeah, state code in front of you. We can add to this list once a year. And so... this county, we have some background that started created a policy of how to actually go through this process of putting a project on the list, or I should say a property on a list, and then how to apply for the funding, and according to state code, how to go through that. And that's what this is, continued corporate preservation policy discussion, because over time, we've used it, and sometimes we haven't. Sometimes we've awarded money to entities without really a whole lot of red tape. I want some money, here you go. And I shouldn't say we, it's been the Council of Governments that have awarded it, and the County Commissioners. So, Rich has been working on amending this policy.
Trying to streamline it.
Streamline it a little bit, and that's what we're talking about now. Do you have any questions about this?
Who's over this list, Riches?
What's that?
Who's over the list?
So we manage it through the same. We send that through the Aaron County
RPO.
Same bodies manage it. But the COG, or the Council of Government, is actually the same people but different organization than our team.
The county is the custodian of the funds, but the RPO is the governing body that decides how to distribute them.
Yeah, so I keep the list up to date. They manage the applications, and then the process goes through this body.
So we're going to actually go through that in a minute after we have this discussion about the policy and the amendments that have been proposed.
So
it's yours.
So, in an effort to streamline and to look at the questions, and we had three different forms, A, B, and C, and there was some repetitiveness in the process. Some questions were the same, and we wanted to simplify a little. And were they really, some of the questions I found were just difficult to quantify. They were questions like, this road will improve transportation. How? And so we're trying to create not a score sheet, but that's what it was called, and give the Council of Government some some continuity and how to, that the request for putting on the priority list, which, by the way, if you read that last comment, it's a numbering system for ease of following. It is not a priority list in that one of these is not 32, whereas one is number one. This list, that's so that in reference we can all say, oh, go look at item 16. But it's not item 16 in a priority. It may actually become a number one priority because of some reason.
I like to say it's a list of our priorities. It is not a prioritized list.
It might be a good idea to change that whole thing so it makes a little more sense. I don't know if you'd even want to put a priority in there.
Yeah. So
it's not a priority list. It's a list.
So several months ago, I made a stab at it, which really became messy. And the more I looked at it, the more I learned about it, the more I realized that it's not simple. And we've got to follow state law. But one of the things was adding to the priority list, we wanted to do away with annually, because it just made sense that if something became a priority, we should just put it on the list. Well, state legislature preempted that and said in here, you can only do it annually. Well, what Nate and I were talking about the other day, it doesn't say it has to be every February, though it seems to make sense that it be a constant date. But we haven't put anything on this list since I've been the county engineer, which is about now 3 years. And so, as we've not added anything to this list, if, for example, something wants to come up, we could say, well, we're going to put it on in June. Just as long as we only do it once a year, seems to be what the legislature said. Didn't say what portion, just in the calendar year. And so it's got a few moving parts. There were 37 qualifying questions. And rather than a score sheet, I think that was what Rob suggested a couple months ago, is that we relabel them from scoring to qualifying questions. And But, I mean, gosh, some of the things seem to be, qualifying questions seem to be equally weighted, but didn't appear in to be that they should. You know, two things are not always equal, and so that was another part about looking at it. So, Nate and I, in our discussion the other day, we felt that this may need to take a little bit longer. We're going to have to use the old system till we update the new. But I do think we all voted on changing one of the forms and agreed to that. One of the first forms I changed was short things.
So we haven't had any motions yet, so none of
them. Oh, you looked through and made sure.
Yeah, going through the minutes. There was last time, the last meeting, there wasn't.
I would say that would have been 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, I'd have to go back.
Okay. To look at it. I've been
it's more of a work meeting. We were just hashing it out.
Yeah.
I've been in the middle of a huge bid project for the last two weeks. We applied for emergency funding after the 21 funds. We finally got approval for the plans and to put it out to bid. So we opened the bids this morning. And that was just a little federal project I started in October 2021. Finally opened the bid packages today. But
Rich, can I ask
next meeting, yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, do we have access to a map that like pinpoints where all these are on a map so that I'd be able to like get a visual? Because a lot of this stuff I don't even know where it's at.
So on the what I call the COG list, the corridor preservation list, we do not have a map on that. We do have a map on this one here, which is the actual projects that are to be constructed at some point for plans. And I need to update it, but I can send you the current ones.
Reed, I think this would be really simple for our GIS to create this.
Could you do it on your map?
Yeah, I can do it. It'll just take me some time.
This list doesn't have to always coincide with the other list either.
Yeah, you want to toggle between the two lists.
Well, I guess that's why I was wondering if we're talking in here about where the priorities are for this advisory council. To me, I'm a visual person. Sorry, it's just easier for me to, if we had access to it, if it was a layer on the GIS or...
It's called road trip.
Okay. 32 locations. I just was asking. So
that's one of my long-term goals. This position is to get it where the list functions as the map, and you can just have that. It's easy to use and access. It just takes a little bit of time because this is the funding for this position doesn't pay for a full-time position, and so. Sometimes I end up doing just the maintenance stuff, but not the how to make this better.
Well, you guys helped us so much with our maps with Kevin Smedley. That's why I'm asking. I'm like, I know.
Yes,
you guys did a wonderful job with maps, so now I'm all like maps.
And it's a long term mission.
Okay.
So,
can I ask a question about that, though? I mean, would it be, this is a public document. But if I'm going to negotiate on a piece of property, I don't know if I want the world to know that I'm going to be negotiating on a piece of property. Just a point. You know what I mean?
You know what? I would agree with you, Rob, except I know the public doesn't even have a clue.
I know.
You should have heard the responses I got when I reached out to buy that property on the Belt Route. What? We're on the Belt Route?
So the NPO has theirs available at the map, and we invite the public to come up. See it every February at our Transportation Expo. And basically, with the exception of the Northern Corridor, which has some habitat stuff that's controversial.
In St. George?
Yeah, St. George was never really a problem with that.
Okay, we'll disregard I asked that question.
However, it doesn't mean it won't be a problem, especially if somebody zoom in. And they don't understand the difference between a planning line
and a project.
And a project.
What Reed calls the two-finger sweep?
If
this one.
No, it's not really for the public to even have or be
aware of.
Certainly not visually to see where these projects are, because they're not projects.
I wasn't being public.
I don't, but even, I think it's just, it's a tool required by state law to say you can't apply for Board of Reservation funding unless your project's on the list. This is all it is. And I appreciate Matt's graphics and seeing it, but I don't know the effort that it takes to do that.
And I can add to that a little bit. So 3 years ago, I felt like I didn't hardly know how to get from my office to my house. Now people call me and ask for directions.
No, so you ask, why are you lost?
Yeah, that's your point. The point is being on this committee for a few months, these will become familiar. And you go, oh, I know that. It really won't need a map as much as just by participating. I mean, I get, it's not everybody, but my wife will call me and say, where am I? And I'll go, oh, you need to go up a couple of streets. And I couldn't, never imagine I knew where all the roads in Iron County were. I don't, but I know where a lot of them are.
But you can still get that.
We have actually added projects to the list over the last few years, but we've not done it according to the form. The project, the forms that we used and said, this is what you need to do and put on the list. We just looked at the list and said, does anybody need to update that? And we've done that.
I just don't remember.
That's why we have the next thing on the agenda.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So are we just going to review the policy changes later?
We're going to keep going.
Okay.
I didn't want to tie up this meeting until we had a couple more steps.
Would you like me to come up one time, like if you have a day or a half a day to work on, and just come up and be a set of eyes and talk through some of this stuff?
Because I've got marked up stuff. I mean, I really got Rob one day when he was feeling awful, terrible about the day. What did you do? And it looked like I'd edited the list and added 30 questions when I only pulled them over and they showed up as...
He doesn't know how to use Word. Just kidding.
I probably don't. I use it like a club.
Just let me know and I'll try to find a time that I'm happy.
Okay.
Yeah. But until then, we have our policy that's in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be following that policy.
Right.
And so item number 7 follows that policy, according to my best understanding.
Is it? Because is this the annual time that we'd look at?
It has to be done before February 1st.
So the policy states that the municipality must put in an application prior to February 1st, which Rob did.
It's the same, it's an application to put it on the priority list, or I should say on the list. We should stop calling it a priority list. We really should. To put it on the Court of Preservation list, and it has to be done before February 1st. I think it's the same application for actually the funding.
It is.
So, which is great. That keeps one application, you could just put, I want money. With the appraisal.
Which was part of the question. If we put this on the list and it's the same questions for funding and it's approved, then when funding becomes available, we shouldn't be
revising. It should be revised.
Asking permission again.
It should just, the request for funding should include these items. The next things you have to give is your appraisal. Documents to purchase the property as according to the policy.
Yeah, so, and my concern is just having the one list. These go on there that you know you need in the future, but you may not have a willing seller at the time. You may have other conflicts that make it not the right time to acquire. So I think getting it on the list has some information, but then when we submit for funding, then you get the greater explanation and the appraisal and the rest of the information. I think this is a 30,000 view and an application to get down.
Yeah, so you're almost like 30,000 of you to get on that list.
Right.
The application I submitted to, I don't even know, to you guys, I submitted the application, right?
Mm-hmm.
To put 3,200 north, which is actually one acre of ground between just west of Half Mile that goes on 5,200 north, goes, I don't know how many feet that is, 33 feet by whatever. I don't have it off the top of my head. So it's a small 1 acre piece of property that I want to put on the corporate preservation priority list. We've been negotiating with the owner for, I don't know, you worked for me, I think, when we started negotiations. That's been how long ago?
A lifetime ago. 8 years? 9 years?
So we've been negotiating for a long time, but now we have a willing seller that's just ready right now. They want to sell the property to us, so hallelujah. You know, you hang on long enough with your fingernails and eventually opportunities pop up. So
what is the, how much property is it?
1 acre.
And it's on 5,200 north?
Yep, which is a collector, future collector road. You know what, Master Plan Road, you know where it is because it's just exactly east of the road, the county road that you're going to chip seal next year.
Right, that's where I think
it is. So this will help us. And we know that the property right to the east, west of it, their zoning change application is happening tonight, zone change public hearings tonight, so that they can come in and develop. They have a plan to develop it, so their portion will be built by them.
So this will allow you to connect 5,200?
To 600. It will connect Half Mile to 600 East, which is, you know, instead of going all the way around town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity. But
and
I require...
And it needs to be acquired because it's not... It's an advantage development potential.
Yep, exactly.
There's really no development there.
Because it's in ag, which is an active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not planning on doing anything, just.
They put cows on it.
Yeah.
See, and this comes back to one of the weaknesses with our current application. It actually asks, will this be done this year?
Yeah.
And it needs to
be. Will it be built this year?
Right. That needs to go off the list because it shouldn't be a standard to be on this list. On this.
The North Beltway is a perfect example of why not. Because you want to buy that land while it's cheap.
And while you can.
And while you can, knowing that it may be a decade until... Because if you wait till right before you need to build, and now you're bulldozing houses, versus if you can acquire...
Question,
right.
It's just,
it should not be a conditional of the...
It should be a condition. That's the way it's run.
That's why that comes on the second request. But...
Well, it wouldn't be named corridor preservation. It would be named corridor building. Yes.
Anyway, yeah. So, absolutely. And does that goes over to Half Mile?
Is that what you're saying? Half Mile is the west side of Half Mile.
The west side of
Half Mile. Yeah, right where 5,200, the county road. Then it goes into Enoch.
Yeah.
And it goes west.
And then there's the developer, I thought, was right there to the west.
Yeah, it'll tie into the
development. From the city offices.
Yeah, there's a developer way to the south, but up on 5,200, there's that piece of property, that 1 acre, that's actually the width of a road. I don't know why it's not.
Is it half a width? Because you said 33 feet. It's 66.
Half a width of the road. And then next to it is a development that's coming in.
Which will provide the
require them to build their half, and then it connects to an existing subdivision already.
Okay.
And there are map. There is a map, but it's not here. But you can see it, right?
I
you got it. You know
it's
exactly.
In
it.
It's in it.
So we want it on the priority list so that at the next Council of Governments meeting we can request the funding. You did an appraisal and
it's the north half of 1,200 for about an acre. And
you'd have
and
to
you
take
guys
it from
only
the new
own
circle to wherever that is. I know where that is. I know where the new circle is.
Chairman, I would make a motion that 5200 North and 80 be added to the corridor preservation list.
Thanks, Reed.
Second.
So is that going to be a recommendation to the
council? Yes. Governments?
So we have a motion by Reed Erickson.
I second it.
And a second by Dan Jessen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Transportation priority list. Do you see anything on this list that you need to adapt, change, subtract, add to?
I would like to speak for a second before we all get into progress. So we see the orange ones. These are the same orange projects that were on there last time that we discussed. Every time we add a project or I like to move, remove a project, I'm going to keep those orange with the notes of what we're doing until it becomes time for us to move this summer tech for adoption. Just for transparency and clarity.
Good. There's not an action on this right now. There's not an agenda to take action, but this is an opportunity for you to review the list and see if there's something you want to change. This requires that this organization reads this before this meeting, right? So does anybody have any updates on your projects? Enix City does not. Except for...
If we have an update on one of these projects, is now the time or is it the next agenda item?
No, now's the time.
Okay, I just wanted to give you guys an update on our Main Street bridge. We've been making... It's on the construction on the back side. S-14. We've been making progress. We actually took a step back. If you remember, we had quite a discussion in one of our previous meetings here. We hired Jones and DeMille to do a feasibility study because we talked about changing one of the major underlying assumptions that was part of the reason why we're moving the bridge. If we take out the irrigation diversion just downstream from the current bridge and we could deepen the channel, what does that do to the original location where the Main Street Bridge is currently? And would that change the scope, size, and scope of that, the reasons why it was being moved? When I spoke with the engineer, they said, and I quote, that would be a game changer. So we hired them. They did a feasibility study, just presented it to City Council 2 weeks ago. And it indeed was a game changer with the assumption that you could deepen the channel there about 6 to 10 feet. It changes the bridge design significantly. As it was, they had to go so tall and so wide that it had all these negative externalities that came into it from doing that. But by going deeper, it changed it to a much different bridge design so that it made it A, much cheaper, B, less impact on the infrastructure, the utility conflicts, and on all of the surrounding roads and how far out. And anyways, so we decided and just got approval earlier this week with Jared Beard on Joint Highways that he's just going to inform Joint Highways. We're not going to amend the grant. He's just going to inform them that the location has been amended. And we are starting the process to hire a design engineer. So we're gonna hurry and go forward and build this thing. So that's all good news because this project was started like a long time ago. It was gonna be a covered bridge, then it was gonna be this, then it was gonna be that, then we moved it and it was so big. Anyways, it's finally cool to see some traction happening. Now, in order for this all to happen, we actually have to remove that farmer's diversion, which is not part of this project. It's part of a different project, which is the absolute top priority, which I'm working on. But we have a bunch of funding sources. That's moving forward. We're going to try to get that all in and designed and done this winter. This winter, by this winter, I mean 2024, fall and winter. And so we can probably do construction on this bridge like fall of 25, winter of 25. That's our target, what we're shooting for. So it's pretty aggressive, but we're really excited about it. You'll notice that that project is on the corridor preservation project priority list. By moving it back to Main Street, we're probably going to have to acquire a little bit of easement that is on the south side of the bridge, because we're going to probably have to change the alignment somewhat in order to take out that other smaller bridge and to kind of allow access to these other the other things in there. So we may need to acquire a little bit of right of way. But anyways, it's just a cool thing. When I got to Parowan, I knew there was like two impossible projects to solve. One of them was the pool, and we got that done. And the other one is the Main Street Bridge. There's a million projects, but I knew these were going to be extremely difficult. And so to see this one now really take traction, solving that Rubik's Cube, I'm excited. So anyways, that's my update. And it has it at $5,044,000 with matching dollars from Parowan. That was the Joint Highways grant. We were being told that the bridge at 100 West, that's where it was being moved to, that at $5 million, it was probably several million dollars underfunded. Plus, that didn't even include all of the costs that the city was going to have to do to upgrade the interchanges, I mean, the intersections, signage, 100 West. Like, we were going to have to do a whole bunch of stuff above and beyond the $5 million that was underfunded. But by moving it back, we got a rough estimate in our feasibility study, $2.7 million. Now, we're pretty sure that is off because it needs to be a little wider than it is. It has no pedestrian traffic currently planned. That's got to be, so the bridge has got to have to be a little bit wider. Also, we have like a high pressure gas line which goes down underneath. We're going to have to deepen the channel. They didn't, in their feasibility study, factor in the cost of moving the utilities to go under the channel. Just the problems on the sides. So, anyways, that plus inflation plus everything else, we still have wiggle room between 2.7 and 5 million. So that's one of the reasons why Joint Highways is like, yeah, go ahead. Because if we were going to come back to them and say, we want to amend it, move it back to Main Street, and by the way, we're way underfunded, they'd be like, hold on, let's talk about this. But the fact that we're coming back to them and saying, when this number was given was 2019, and now we're going to come back and still make the project happen without asking for more money. We're going to leave it at $5 million on the grant and just hope that it still comes in under $5 million. But their estimate was 2.7, so hey. It doesn't always go the wrong way. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes it works to slow stuff down and talk it through. So that's my update on that.
So Jonathan's not here, but I was in a meeting with UDOT last Thursday about the roundabout on Center Street there by SUU. And down here on safety, the overpass on the interstate. They're going to hold off on the sidewalk project until the roundabout and all of that is done, rather than put in new sidewalk concrete and then tear it out in a year when they do the roundabout. The trouble with the roundabout there on Center Street is they had a consultant come in with the flood study. And that's number, I think it's S19. Yeah. That practice field has like 6 to 8 feet of water. In fact, it'll top the interstate if they block it up there. The raised roundabout would only exasperate that. And that's what they're going to do. And so they're back on the drawing board on how to make that work with all that water coming down Center Street, coming across the university. And anytime UDOT sees any study that shows topping the interstate, they get excited. So
that estimated cost is way off. That needs to be updated because it's up to like $3 million or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's just a bit of an update there that. They're back to the drawing board on that roundabout.
I'll get the details from John.
Call Tracy. Tracy Yeah.
So is this the roundabout or the sidewalk project?
It's both.
The roundabout has been funded by UDOT.
Right. But the sidewalk, the city doesn't want to do the sidewalk, but the roundabout is more secure rather than doing the sidewalk and then having to redo it because the roundabout affects that crossover sidewalk.
So hey, you need to you got to update it and move it to funded, right?
It is.
Yes, I'm here.
The C50, the roundabout C50.
Okay.
Go.
Yeah. Hey, do you have any updates about the roundabout and sidewalk project?
Yeah, I talked to Tracy because they were pretty surprised when the roundabout caused overtopping on I-15.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would think that you could put in some culverts to allow historical, just allow it to do what it historically does now.
What they thought historically was that it went north over to Freedom Avenue. But when they look at the models, it never went down that street. It doesn't go that way. And so it piles up against the interstate.
Okay. I'll get with Tracy and Jonathan and ask questions on that.
Yep.
Anything else? You see anything, Reeve, the county?
Okay. Actually, this is interesting. I'll have to listen to that. I'm waiting for other discussion.
Project already on here that you
what did you say? TA what?
16.
Okay. Does that change the RPO phasing or anything?
No, so that one is listed as RPO phasing 2. So just to let you know. phasing, RPO phasing, and general phasing. General phasing is a UDOT term. That phase one means within the next 10 years, and then phase two means 10 to 20 years, and phase three means 20 plus. And then RPO phasing is a more localized discussion that we have. It's just saying we want to have something called phase one, which is within a project that's going to be moving the next year or 2 years, then 3 to 6 years, and then 7 months.
So if we're doing a project that shuts down Highway 91 like our culverts, are we supposed to bring it up here?
Update on studies. The last item there, the I-15 underpass from Old Highway 91 to Summit Frontage Road. We applied for the $150,000 grant from the transportation planning grant from the UDOT. And the last time we spoke, Chris, you said we got it?
That was a question.
Hey, Chris, are you there?
Yes.
Will you speak about the I-15 underpass from Old Highway 91 to Summit Frontage Road studies that Enoch put in? Have they made their determination?
So they are still scoring those. I have not heard back of what is going to be funded yet. And I'm not sure what the timeline is. I would imagine within the next 2 months we would hear back if it was selected.
Well, I'm glad that I haven't heard anything either.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's all I have. Okay. That was a good practice. Now, next time we can.
Well, I have other discussion.
Oh, yeah, please.
So we approved the purchase of the Robertson property on the Belt Route. That's a 20-acre piece. They went and got another appraisal. It went up $10,000. In fact, that was the call I just got back from Robertson to follow up. I had warned him that if he asks, I can proceed to go forward with the 210, but if he wants 220, it'll have to go back to the COG. And, in fact, it may be rejected at that time. And nothing can happen. And then nothing would happen. So I spoke to him day before yesterday, and we don't have a policy or process if somebody comes back with a counteroffer, because I can only give them what the high appraisal is. But they got a second appraisal.
Now you're talking about the Council of Governments and the
this our one. Recommendation to go to yeah. them but, is where we'd go to next.
But in that case, I think that the entity who got the money from the COG would pony up the rest on their own.
Well, I think they would have that option.
We're not offering that. We're telling them that I told them we'd have to go back to the Council of Government because we would have to come up
right.
more out of the preservation.
So, yeah, we don't have a policy in place that says you can go, well, we don't have anything that says you can't either. You can go back and ask for more. Or you could just pull it out of your own funds, your own general fund, and buy property. It's another option, right?
Always an option. Not my favorite. I did learn from this process. I will say this, and if you do this, and somebody wants to get a second opinion, my recommendation is they have to do it as of the date of your appraisal. Don't let them get a new appraisal or we're just chasing ourselves down the road. So it was a learning curve.
Yeah.
Everyone else has understood.
And I'm thinking that we probably ought to have an accepted offer before we request the funds.
trouble.
The only challenge with that is it's hard to make an offer when you don't know that you have the funds to make
it. That's why I went the other way.
You could make an offer conditional upon the funds being available.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, it's been a bit of a learning. We've gotten some properties we've obtained, and that was Mr. Robinson that just called. So I had warned him, and maybe he's called back and said, we'll take the offer.
That's a good point.
Just for when you go forward, don't make the same mistake I did, which is because nothing would have changed on the appraisal had I said same appraisal thing. You have to appraise the same date I did.
Hey, thanks, Rich. We are through the transportation priority list, which includes project studies updates. So, yeah.
So one of the things we were hoping to do over the past 6 months is start to work on the RPO plan. RPO has a plan with the travel demand model. It's been taking a lot of my time, my excess time, so I've worked my time from working on the RPO plan to the transportation demand model. And I hope to start working on that and bring a page or a section at a time to this group for discussion.
Explain what the RPO plan is.
Oh, yeah. So, the RPO plan, I actually don't know a lot about it yet since I haven't started working on it, but it's the plan on how this group moves forward and what our goals and it provides a plan, it talks about the planning area and stuff like that.
So is it a master transportation plan? Is it a...
Is it our organization plan?
Because the bylaws state what the organization does. I'm just wondering.
Let me pull it up.
Because I got some room on my bookcase for another 3-liter green binder to put a plan in. I mean, I got hundreds of them.
Yeah.
I just wonder if we just take another one.
I'll make sure the front door is out so you can contact
me. Reed's going to throw a punch in a minute. Maybe we can get some funding for a plan that plans how we plan.
Yeah.
As a planning organization.
We just got to that.
Yes.
Put a plan to get a plan
on the planning.
You sound like the pointy-haired boss. A restructuring plan.
I'm sorry to make a fun of it, Nathan. I know that you're working hard on it. It's nothing about you.
I haven't been working hard on it.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm not sorry.
I hope to be working hard on it soon. That was the point.
How about you just send that out to us?
I'll send it out to
us. And we'll look through it in our spare time at midnight or whenever.
It was prepared when, and now you're trying to update it?
Yeah, one second. No, it's a local.
No.
The thing that we're supposed to be doing.
Local from who?
That's supposed to be coming out from the Tri County.
The question is, where is the legislation that says that we have to actually have a plan?
Not sure.
It's just the one we have that nobody's read, and it's time to review it so we can
clarify. I dropped it. I'll send it out. What I'll do is I'll send out the plan with all the details of why and where.
And the deadline.
This is something Dave told me I needed to be working on before he retired.
Well, this is one of those jokes you played on me, isn't it?
And I pulled it up yesterday and I was like,
and you have to touch this brick right here when you go in the building or you have bad luck.
Don't be too surprised when he gets emails back that don't sound too encouraging.
So I'll be working on that and putting it here.
Thank you.
That was the point, and that's why it didn't happen, because it's on my own. I just wanted
to do that. Well, thanks for not putting it on the agenda. We appreciate that.
Well, can I step back for just a second? So, On this question of Robinson County, if I'm going to go to the council of government, and I mean, if the appraisals were almost the same, $10,000 is the appraisal. I had Carson Reed look at both appraisals, and he said, it was basically identical. This property had to sold. So, where am I coming from? So, to go to the Council of Government, and we have not got a process for making adjustments, my question to this group is, would you or would you not recommend the Council of Government increase the offer?
What were our recommendations? So if you brought it back and said, we want to consider upping our dollar amount, what would the recommendation of this body be?
To the council,
to the executive committee.
Because they're going to ask, and I need to be able to say, well,
From an administrative standpoint, because we're all pretty much administrators, we're not legislators, we're not making decisions based upon.
To them our recommendation.
I know, but I'm just saying, if it were from our position, I would say, yeah, you go ask for more money.
Okay.
And they can determine. Are we going to argue the point with the landowner, or are we just going to take advantage of the opportunity? And they can go anywhere in between. And as a board, they decide that. We just come to them as an advisory board and say, hey, this offer...
Well, I mean, ultimately, we're saying that this is a good use of funds to buy that property, and to some degree that it's a appropriate number, right? And we gave that and went to them, and now it's coming back. I don't know if it would need to come back to us to give another recommendation.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm asking.
Because the project is now not... It's not going to change where it goes. Over $10,000, we're not going to reroute the road. It's not like it's changing the fundamentals of why this body says that it's worth doing. So, like Rob said, it's probably maybe more if the executive committee wants to bump it up a little bit based on the guy's demand.
The reason we went after it was because it was on the market. We didn't go pursuing an unmarketed property. We just hated to see it. But at the same time, the new owners get to find out they bought a better. So that's good, Rob. That's fine.
I don't know if that's direction, though. I think you can do whatever you want as the county and take it to the county if you wish to. They feel comfortable talking about it.
Well, I'm hoping in this phone call I'm going to have on my way home, they will have decided holding off is costing them money every day.
I would make a motion that this group, well, can we not make a motion since it's not an agenda item?
I don't think you can make a motion, but you can make a suggestion.
Yeah. I'll revise that motion to a suggestion. That this group support the idea that the project is still an important priority for the corridor, for the Bell Route to acquire that, and that $10,000 is not a huge difference. It's still very similar, and if that's what it takes to get the job done, then the COG approve that.
So we don't have a motion, but we have a request for that word to go to them. By hearing no, do I hear anybody saying the opposite at all? Then we can just say that everybody acquiesces to that suggestion.
A consensus.
And we'll go on the COG agenda at the next COG meeting next month, which meets, obviously, in, where does it meet? Cedar, and you can make that request to them.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
If nobody speaks up in any board or any group, then it means acquiescence to what someone says. Remember that, okay? If you don't speak up, then you're saying yes. We learned that the hard way in government.
I don't like that.
In government, I said. Okay, our next
meeting. She leaves it open until she changes her mind.
Our next meeting is in Cedar City. We'll have a conversation with Jonathan and see where they want to have that. We typically had it in. Where have we had it in Cedar City?
Council of Chambers.
Council Chambers. Yeah. We'll talk to Jonathan about where to have this meeting in April. If there's nothing else, I would entertain a motion. Oh, I forgot to do this. Can you introduce yourselves, guys?
I'm Randy Smith with Sunrise Engineering. I manage the transportation department, and this is Dave Valentine, that's based in our Washington office and supports many local governments within the five-county area. Thanks for letting us listen in today.
Yeah, I apologize we didn't introduce you at the very beginning.
That's okay.
Yeah, Rob, what the heck? I was wondering who these guys were, and I just thought, well, I'm going to have to introduce myself afterwards. So.
This is Dan Jessen. He's going to introduce himself to you anyway.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Let's adjourn. Thank you.
Aye.